It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already the last weekend in September, September 29th and September 30th, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to my running friends who participated in the Northeast Delta Dental Points Chase Citizens Race at Derryfield Park prior to the high school jamboree last Saturday. Lots of fun. Our race began early at 8 o'clock, and then the high school started at 9 o'clock. And, of course, I'm just using my time as a benchmark. The high schoolers did the same course in about half as much time. So that's a comment on my age and slowness and also the speed of youth. This weekend is the Luke Capistrano Road Race, also at Derryfield Park on Saturday, September 29th. Of course, we are a dental insurance company. Our mission is spreading affordable dental health care to the citizens of New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. And, of course, we have in-house staff who are in-house teammates who are practicing dentists. And with me is one of the longest active practicing dentists in the state, Dr. Mitch Curray. That's true, right? You've had your 45-year Delta Dental anniversary, right?
You know, time flies when you're having fun.
So why don't you introduce yourself? You went to the Harvard of the North and your history. Also, you served our country, and talk a little bit about veterans' oral health care, and then we'll get right into our topic, which seems esoteric, the effect of changes in atmospheric pressure on your oral health. But, of course, we all fly, too, so that should come into play. So tell us about your background, Dr. Mitch. Was it the Civil War that you fought in?
Yes, it was. Tom, thank you for that. And I learned how to reload and keep my powder dry. Hey, thank you so much.
I like that. And we didn't even plan that.
Right. Hey, anyhow, yes, I went to McGill University in Montreal, Canada, and I got a full boat there. I was really lucky and started a practice in Merrimack, New Hampshire, currently practicing in Manchester. And I have been at Northeast Delta Dental for 23 years. Glorious, wonderful years. I'm saying that because I know Tom is listening.
I'm right here, of course.
Yes,
I'm listening. of course, the famous story. There's two famous Dr. Mitch Curray stories. Many, many, many years ago, the dentist in the state actually elected the Delta Dental Plan Board, and Mitch, prior to my arrival, was actually on the Delta Dental Board for a little short period, and he won by one vote because the incumbent or one of his competitors failed to vote for himself. So Mitch winning by one vote, we call him Landslide Mitch. The second thing is when I started, literally my first day on the job, I've come up from Massachusetts. I'm wearing a three-piece suit, and Mitch's predecessor approaches me and says that he has to retire almost immediately because of health reasons. So here I am, new kid on the block, key position needs to be filled. So someone said, well, you should try to hire Landslide Mitch. So I basically took a chance, took an opportunity, hired Mitch, and just as Dr. Curray said, here we are 23 years later in a great partnership, and he's our chief dental officer. And we've had a lot of fun over the years, but beyond that, a lot of mission-sensitive work, such as the veterans' oral health. And I'll just take that one, and then we'll get right into today's topic. So essentially, veterans can go to the VA, but there are various rules in terms of when the VA is allowed to see a veteran, and it's not related to the great people at the VA. It's just, you know, whatever congressional rules. So 9 times out of 10, a veteran, an older veteran in particular, can't get served at the VA. So then they look for other ways of service and of being cared for, and we have a traditional national program, but many of them can't afford that, and we have a local retail product called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. Same thing, some of them can't afford it. So Mitch, who served our country, and other colleagues of his who have served our country, set up a little mini network for me, and they see these veterans on a discounted basis, and we go from there. So thank you for, first, your service to the country, number one. Number two, for helping out your colleagues, veterans. And third, for being with me for 23 years. That's pretty cool.
That is. It's been great. It's been very enjoyable. And I don't care if he is in the radio room. It's fine. But the bottom line is this. Just this morning, Bertrand, by the way, sends hello to you.
Oh, good.
He is a veteran, and he is 90 years old. He doesn't look 90, and he was thinking of getting a convertible and running up and down Elm Street in Manchester.
Wow.
And see if he can find a new girlfriend. So it's not just about dentistry.
and Bert being one of the veterans, you know, that we serve. But let's get right into our topic.
Sure. Tom, as I was thinking about this, general practice is kind of interesting. And as you listen to the stories that come by, one of them had to do with some of my patients who fly. So our topic today is the effect of changes in atmospheric pressure on your oral as well as your overall health. As you know, the two are very much connected. So as you listen in, I want you to think about pilots, crew members, and the occasional and frequent flyers. Oh, excuse me, breaking news, billionaire Yusaka Moyarka, first tourist on the moon. He's already paid his way, and so he is ready to go. So I just
You think he has seen his dentist recently to make sure he's
well,
all set?
I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you brought that to my attention, Tom. So I'm going to introduce the term. You ready for this one? As we know, barometers actually measure atmospheric pressure. And barotrauma can actually cause dental pain. And so it's something that we need to look at because, you know, the definition of it essentially is that when tissues, that's not the kind you blow your nose with, that's the kind that, you know, you make bone and you have gums and teeth and so forth. Those are called tissues. And they experience a variation in pressure between the gas space in their bodies and fluid that surrounds it. For instance, we're not aware, but there is fluid in every tooth, in all three layers, and even the inside called the pulp, even that expands. Now, hop on a plane, start to take off, and all of a sudden, isn't it true so often that your ears pop?
It's true with me.
And then all of a sudden, something different may occur. Some people have complained that their lungs feel kind of strange. That's not unusual because there's a sac around those lungs, and in there, there's water. So if you know very well, if you increase the pressure on water, it will expand as well as when you heat it. So the lungs themselves have this, what they call a covering around it, the sac, and when you take off or land, that's one of the things that happens. It kind of squeezes it, and it makes it maybe a little bit more difficult for you to breathe. The other thing, I know everyone is aware of this one. As you know, your ears are in your skull, and all of a sudden, it feels like the ears pop. Well, let me tell you something else. Let's switch now back to the dental side. So let's just say that you had a brand new filling. You're leaving first thing in the morning, and all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't sensitive or not giving you a problem, but now it is. And, you know, they haven't even served coffee yet. And so it's not unusual that with new fillings, or if I may be so bold, for those maybe that you haven't taken care of, sometimes if they're loose, they can actually, with the change in atmospheric pressure, pop.
But we know our Delta Dental subscribers, because of our health, world wellness programs, and other education, we know our subscribers go to the dentist between 2 and 4 times a year. So there can't be anybody in the listening audience who has neglected taking care of their teeth. Do you think, Mitch?
Having 23 years with you, Tom, I've always enjoyed your optimism. And I think that's wonderful. I wish I could report back, sir.
If you have Delta Dental coverage, whether it's through DeltaDentalCoversMe.com or healthcare.gov through the public exchange or through your employer, get to the dentist. We want you to go to the dentist. It's really not true that an insurance company, at least a dental insurance company, doesn't want you to go to the dentist. We want you to go to the dentist. So what Mitch is alluding to is that we know statistically that some of you don't go until there is pain. Some of you have a fear of the dentist. There are various reasons why someone doesn't go to the dentist, but you got to take care of it before you fly, Mitch, right? Or before you have serious heart surgery too as well.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, what you're saying is right on. And fear really does drive this. And sometimes folks, in terms of the expense that may be occurring, that can also be a detriment. Or the timing is just not right, you know? Like you've just been asked to take off because your job calls for that. And then you're saying, oh, geez, now you have to cancel the appointment. Now you got to get another one. So keep on top of that because that's really important. Now, I want to come to one other thing. This is the one that I see the most, not so much about the fillings popping, but if you have any crowns or caps in your mouth, we don't realize, but once they loosen, some water gets under there. Some of us call it saliva, some of us call it spit. Whatever you want to call it, that's what happens. So this liquid actually gets underneath the crown. Now, remember, the atmospheric pressure on that particular liquid can actually cause that crown to pop. I can tell you that in my own practice that I've had people come in and they just say, guess what? You know, doc, this just popped out. And you're not going to believe, I was on my way to Asia or wherever they were on their way. And it's really kind of interesting that all of a sudden they're going, oh, now you make the connection like, you know, no, we don't scold people in my practice. We just say essentially, hey, got you covered. We'll take care of that. So that's one of the things we find.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio on this weekend of September 29th and 30th. Where did September go? I'm starting to sound, Mitch, more and more like my grandparents about how time flies. So with me this weekend is Dr. Mitch Caray, Chief Dental Officer at Northeast Delta Dental. And again, big shout out to my running friends for joining me at the Citizens Jamboree last weekend at Dairy Field Park. And this weekend, there's a race again at Dairy Field Park called the Luke Cut Pastrano Race. But back to you, Mitch. So we were talking about having a loose crown while you're on the plane, what that is. And then let's get into perhaps some tips of for flyers.
Sure.
So go ahead with the crown.
It's really something. And then all of a sudden, like, they're totally surprised. And you explain that. And so what I like to do, I like to use a big word once in a while, barotrauma.
And oh, my God. That's...
Isn't that wonderful?
My God.
And then it makes me look so smart. I'm kidding a bit.
Was that kind of like the spit versus saliva?
Yes.
Education did for me?
Thank you.
Before commercial break?
And then there's...
So tell us about barotrauma.
But how about this one? You ready? Odontocrexis, C-R-E-X-I-S. I know if you want to use any of these terms with your friends, just make sure that, you know, they're not easy to offend. But essentially, that's what happens. That's why that crown pops off. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting that as you look at tooth problems that, you know, that you got to fix before you fly. That's my term is, fix it before you fly. There's also, that also follows with good preventative care. Tom talked about get to see the dentist on a regular basis. Make sure none of this, because it's not always obvious. You know, it doesn't come because you got sensitivity. It doesn't come from any of that. Or, you know, you bite the wrong way on the tooth and it creates a problem. As someone who saw my share of pilots in the United States Air Force, I can tell you this.
This is when you were in Kansas?
This is when I was in Kansas. None of them got by me, sir, during the Vietnam conflict.
And I just want to go back to the very beginning. So Mitch obviously served our country in Vietnam, and all these years I thought he was like on the Mekong Delta and stuff, but I happened to have dinner with he and his lovely wife not too long ago, and she said that Mitch was stationed in the mid-Kansas in Wichita fighting off the Vietcong.
Kansas, sir. Yes.
Okay, so, yeah. But anyway, but all kidding aside, thank you for serving our country.
And we trained a lot of pilots. Mm-hmm. But
you had to make sure that their oral health was top-notch before you let them on the plane, right?
That's actually true. Right with the medical folks, the dental folks are right there. We had to check them out. We had actually a checklist that before a pilot could actually get in one of those jets, which, by the way, from an atmospheric perspective, is not as well pressurized as the plane that you and I travel in.
Gotcha. But it speaking of checklists, can you go over the five tips for frequent flyers and occasional flyers?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I sure can. Hey, listen, this is a couple of thoughts for you, okay? Postpone fillings when suffering from the common cold to avoid, you like the word, barotrauma or barosinusitis. If you must travel with a cold, use a decongestant. So be careful with that. And then to relieve the pressure during landing and takeoff and dry mouth, chew your gum. I'm sure many of you already do this anyway. Use earplugs to help equalize the air pressure against your eardrum. No plane today, no commercial plane today, is actually perfectly pressurized for each individual sitting in each individual seat. Use some deep breathing at the time of ascent to prevent pulmonary barotrauma. Here's something too. Tom is really keen on this, and so am I. This is where mindfulness comes into play.
Tell us about the breathing part of things.
Well, that's true. That's what you do. So you just do kind of a timeout, if you wish, in terms and like take yourself to another place other than the fact that the plane is ascending or descending. And as far as leaky fillings are concerned and decay, get it done before you travel, but not the day before. Give it a little bit of time. And if you've had a tooth removed, just make sure that you give that enough time. I usually suggest if anybody's going to take off, give it a week, okay? Because the body's really trying to recuperate, and it's really trying to plug the hole, so to speak.
You gave me an extra. You gave me six tips instead of five. So thank you, Mitch.
Well, that's the way I am, sir.
So let's as a practical thing. So if I have like a filling that's hurt, it's starting to hurt me for whatever reason or tooth, and I'm scheduled to take off tomorrow, let's say, and I call my dentist, assuming it's not so bad, you're actually suggesting to wait until you get back before you're doing it?
You can do that, but know too that there is a risk that all of a sudden that may become sensitive because, as I said, there's a fluid inside each and every tooth, and we can't diagnose that. We can't know that, like, get it done now, get it done later. That usually is very personal, and the individual will come in and say, I'm getting hot and cold sensitivity, or I'm biting down and it feels weird, or something along that line.
So if you, let's say your flight, you know your flight's 2 months from now,
yep,
and you can schedule your dentist within a couple of weeks, then you would definitely recommend to have your dental repair work done at that point.
I would definitely recommend that, especially if you're going on a long flight, like 14 hours to Hawaii, which, by the way, Nancy and I are off next week.
Nancy being the aforementioned wife, you know, that reference that let me in on a trade secret about Dr. Curry.
Let me leave something with you.
Sure, I got plenty of time.
About commercial pilots and crews.
Sure.
Are you aware that, you know, it sounds, and they make it look easy, like they're just great. Their customer service to us in each one of our seats always has amazed me. The training is just incredible, like it is at Northeast Delta Dental in our customer service. But commercial pilots and crews, they have chronic stress on the landing and takeoff. And, you know, unruly, demanding passengers. I'm not sure if I've been there, but, you know, those are the kind of things that come into play. We think that our commercial pilots, God forbid, should have a crosswind that's really incredible when you're landing. That could be a real problem. And that, trust me, what that does, the G-forces that they have, the vibrations that they feel, the centrifugal forces also play a part in that. And they exhibit grinding or clenching, and they exhibit some dysfunction in terms of their joints.
So TMJ. So TMJ. Tell us what TMJ is, Mitch.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where your joints, where they articulate, where the lower jaw articulates with your skull. And sometimes it just doesn't feel right. And they come down, let's say they're landing, and they'll just bring those lower teeth really hard up against the skull. And that gets to be something that can be a habit. That's not necessarily a good thing if you're piloting my plane. Thank you very much. And sometimes headaches is also something that occurs with them and with us. It's not just about the pilots and the crews, but it's also with that. And the headaches are usually more intense than for those of us who, when we are airbound.
The two cleanings a year really began when Pepsodent, you know, radio commercials or print ads said, go see your dentist twice a year. And that became, you know, a proxy or benchmark for us, for dental plans to have two visits a year, two cleanings a year. But as Mitch will tell you, some of us actually need to go more frequently. Some actually could go less, but two became like the benchmark. So with our sort of customized program, when you now go in and get your prophy or cleaning from your hygienist, she or he will put you through series of questions. And if your score is 3, 4, or 5, and you're a Delta Dental subscriber, you're entitled to, you know, additional cleanings during the year and things like adult fluoride varnish. Did I explain
through
the health wellness program? It's very, you know, when you're the CEO and you have this vision of mass customizing a dental program, and you can actually see it work. I mean, yeah, because everybody tells me it's like
huge.
You're sitting in the chair, the score comes up within like 5 minutes. And right there and then they're scheduling you for an additional cleaning or applying the adult fluoride varnish. I'm doing now the favorite part of the program is what I call lightning round. So
okay.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions, which you'll give me succinct answers to. So toothbrushes.
Yes.
Manual or electric?
My favorite is the electric, but you have to make sure that you use them for the proper amount of time. Some of them actually come with a timing light. Follow the timing light. It's already been worked out from all the data that we have.
Now, one of your colleagues, Dr. Shannon Mills, his answer to that is always, whatever makes you passionately willing to brush your teeth. So if you go with the manual brush, if you're more comfortable with that, but that gets you to brush, that's fine. And it's like you said, some of us also like the electric toothbrush, and I like the timing part of it. Okay, toothpaste. You go into a drugstore or a supermarket, and there seems to be dozens of different brands. So true or false, as long as there's fluoride in the brand, it probably doesn't matter too much what brand you use?
It doesn't matter. And there are some people who actually use baking soda and don't use toothpaste at all. It's really the abrasion of the toothbrush itself that really counts. Use the one that you will use. That's the key.
Love it. And this may be the same answer for my next lightning round question, but floss, we see floss kind of like string floss, and now we see what's gotten me to floss more is kind of like a floss on a stick, and it's kind of shaped like a horseshoe. I assume the answer is whatever gets you to floss, go with it.
That's absolutely the answer. And, you know, when you do it, how you do it, where you do it, that's strictly up to you. I know that for myself, usually it's in the evening. Usually I'm watching the evening news.
Although I've seen you in the office at Delta Dental flossing away, and I'm thinking, well, there's got to be a better time. But this works, Mitch. How can I dispute it?
Well, the thing is, you know, you realize I am a dentist.
I have to be a role model.
I have to be a role model.
You're awesome. I am so pleased that you're going to stay with me for another 23 years as chief dental officer. And thank you for your work with the veterans, including most recently. So thank you.
Yep. Bert says hello.
Excellent.